how we live means a lot when we see it through the eyes of our dad.
To be a family man, yeah. Family man. Welcome to the Family Man Show with Todd Wilson. This is the show where we remind dads of what's most important. I'm your host, Scott Moore. Thanks for joining us today. Hey, Todd, how's it going?
Well, I hesitate to say spring has sprung here in Indiana, but it feels like it has sprung. The grass has a greenness to it. My daffodils are blooming, and it is warm. It feels so wonderful, so wonderful. I know that you Arizona dads who are listening, you know, you're past the wonderful weather, and it's starting to heat up for you, but sorry, this dad's liking it. I assume it's been incredible down where you live, Scott.
It's warmer than usual, that's for sure. It's been some rain, and, you know, now I'm looking at my yard going, oh, no, I'm going to have to start mowing it soon, but you know, I'll be happy eventually.
Of all the Charlie Browns, you're the Charlie Browniest. You can take a perfectly good warm weather.
Yep. I can.
How's it going?
Deal with it, man. You don't get an AI version of me. I'm here.
I know. We were just talking. We should. I'm going to look into that, Scott, actually.
What, can AI replace your co-host? Yes.
That's right. Hey, right. God, how's it going? How are you today? I don't know. You should be nervous, Scott. Very nervous.
All right.
We're kind of all here on pins and needles at our house because Ben and Marissa are expecting their number 4th child here any day. And in fact, I'm on duty because my wife is gone for the entire week. I don't think she's ever been gone for a whole week. And it's for the life-changing, important thing of playing basketball. The homeschool national basketball tournament is this weekend in Springfield, Missouri. And as I've said, and I've confessed my sins, I am not a sports dad. I was going to go, but my wife said, maybe you should stay because Ben and Marissa, you know, we're going to be watching their kids when they give birth. And I'm like, okay, I will. And so she loves it. She loves basketball. She loves all watching teams play. She doesn't know anybody in. She likes it all. She's the total package of a sports mom.
That is so funny.
I am not. I'm like, why are we watching this game? We don't know anybody. You know, and so they're there.
When my wife and I were dating in college, her dad, huge UC Bearcats basketball fan. That's University of Cincinnati for those of you who are wondering.
That's a bowl game, right? Bowl
yes.
team, right?
Yes.
Okay.
And they had tickets to the NCAA tournament. Some of the games were in Cincinnati that year for some reason. And they asked me if I wanted to go, and it was like a whole day of basketball games. And I'm like, yeah, I'm good. Thanks. Not interested.
And exactly.
So my roommate Steve went with them instead.
Oh, yeah.
They still talk about it occasionally. It's a really fun time. And I'm like, you know what? God bless you. I couldn't have handled a whole day of basketball.
I know it. I know it. I know lots of people. My son, Jed, he can watch. But I need to be related to at least one person on the floor. And besides, Scott, I don't know if, I know not everybody listening is a homeschooler, but here's how homeschooling works. Imagine how the world has always functioned, and then homeschoolers tip the rules up on their up on end. So, like when I was in high school, and maybe we've talked this before, when I was in high school, your basketball team played regular season games, and then they played sectionals. So, if you won the sectionals, only if you won, you went on to regionals. If you went on to regionals, you played the other teams that played their sectionals and won. And then, you know, it was like a classic tournament style until the very last game was between the two people who had, you know, had beat everybody else for the state championship. You know, and I don't even know if they had a national high school basketball tournament back then. Now, anybody can have a national high school basketball tournament. You want to start one? We went to one 2 weeks ago when I said it was at the Hoosiers gym, which was so cool. It was the Indianapolis national tournament. There were only four teams playing, you know, and I'm like, how can this be? Because I thought, you know, like this is the big deal. And they're just saying, oh, yeah, then we have the East Coast Nationals. I'm like, I thought the Nationals were supposed to be the Nationals, not regional Nationals. So I don't quite get the deal. But apparently there are a lot of teams here and it's a big deal if we win. Our basketball team has lost all their games so far.
But they're in the tournament. So, you know.
So, yeah. And that's you know, thing. That's another thing. So instead of like saying, okay, you lost your first game, go home. Here, you lost your second game, now go home. You lost your third game, go home. They just keep playing. And I'm surely don't think it's just so they can sell more hot dogs, t-shirts, and all the stuff that goes along with that. Do you think it could be that?
Could be.
Could be. I'm going to try to be kinder than that. So anyway.
That is a good story still the second week in a row, but you know.
Did I tell that last week?
Yes. Or the week before, I can't remember.
I am now an old man.
All right.
Did I tell you about the Hoosiers gym and my dentist?
Yes. We all love your dentist.
Why didn't you stop me?
Because it's fun to listen to you repeat yourself.
Not my kids. My kids are like, yeah, we know, Dad. No, help. We know that one. Right. Even my dad will start to tell a story, and I'm like, yeah, I've heard that before.
Dude, my wife and I went through that years ago when it's like we've heard all the stories that we're going to tell and we don't have much new stuff happening to us. So
you just tell the same ones.
Yeah.
Tell me the story, Dad.
It's all right.
See, like an AI host would have said, please stop, Todd. You have told this before. But here's what I thought we'd talk about, Scott. And we probably talked about this before too, because all dad things come back to haunt us.
Ain't that the truth?
It is the truth. And you know, I mean, that's just life. Oh, I should have said when I was talking about, I don't know why this popped into my head, but you could be replaced by my granddaughter Renly, because some of you know that we also do, my boys and I, we do a Disney Plus podcast every week. And you know, we talk about the old movies or some new Star Wars thing, and we argue about it. And well, Renly wanted to be on the show so we could talk about Bluey. And Bluey is probably the most watched show in the world. And Scott, your kids are not, you know, little anymore, so you may not be aware of it.
I've heard of it.
It's kind of a PBS show, but it's really delightful. There's a mom and a dad and they interact with their kids, but they don't act like remember Caillou? Caillou is that bald headed kid who said, Mommy, can I burn down the house? And the mom would go, okay, Caillou, but be careful. And it was just a spoiled brat. Or how about Curious George? And it's like every time they leave the monkey alone, he destroys the town. So it's not like that. It's like these moms and dads who are real dads and real dad and real mom. And it's clever. It's fun. And Renly knows them all. She said she was sick for a couple of days and she watched all of season one, all of season two, all of season three while she was sick. And so she was on the show and it was super fun. If you want to hear, you can look up the podcast, The Wonderful World of Disney Plus, and that's us. So I was having this conversation with one of my kids and they were talking about one of their friends whose parents just put a lot of pressure on them to travel a certain route, you know, and that route is college with a degree, with a well-paying job, regardless of a child's desire to do that well-paying job. And we were just talking. I said, so what would they like to do? And they said, oh, they'd like to do this. But their parents said, that's fine to do, you know, on the side, but it doesn't make any money, so don't do that. And this kid is kind of, you know, he's post high school is just kind of floundering because God just hasn't made it clear what he's supposed to do. And, you know, when you're really not encouraged to follow what you like to do, it feels even harder. I remember, like, believe it or not, Scott, I was going to be a dentist. I know that sounds shocking. First of all, I wouldn't want to stick my fingers in someone else's mouth. I don't want to touch another person. And I don't think I could handle it. But, you know, when I had my appointment with my high school counselor, Mr. O'Brien, who was single, lived with his mother, and, you know, an older guy, and worked as a high school counselor, not a real job. We sat down and he said, oh, you did good in chemistry and you did good in those, and you had some higher math. How would you like to be a dentist? They make a lot of money. And I'm like, sure, I'll be a dentist. And it was just, and then it was chemical engineering because, you know, and I mean, I had no business being a chemical engineer. If you know me, look at my office, Scott. Does it look like an engineer's office?
It kind of looks like you might have blown something up in there.
Yeah, it looks like a circus of Polaroid snapshots.
Yes.
But I'm just, that's not my, but it was just some person, zero attachment to me or reality. And they just said, how about this? I'm like, okay, just make money. Yeah. And I just feel like this kid is kind of in the same predicament because you eliminate the things that he wants to do because it sounds ridiculous or it sounds. And we start talking about other people. And what's sad to me is that all these kids, and I know a bunch, they feel like disappointments in their parents' eyes because they just don't, they can't. I don't want to say they can't. They can't do what they want them to do, but their heart's not in it. And so it looks like, you know, they just don't want to pursue that route. And I know these kids, they feel like their parents are disappointed in them. And that just makes me so sad, Scott. Do you know what I'm talking about? Am I just talking to an AI robot right now?
I get you, man. I'm kind of the opposite. And like we've tried to encourage our kids to find something they want to do and figure out what God's calling them to. But my son, who I've tried not to force him to do music because I recognized that he had musical talent early on.
Right.
But, you know, he finally got into playing guitar and loves it and all that. But he's like, no, Dad, I'm not studying music. Everybody at Cedarville is a worship major. He's right. Like, I'm going to make money. I'm studying finance and economics. I want to do business. I'll play guitar on the side. It'll be fine. I keep waiting for that call where he's going to be like, Dad, I've switched my major. I'm going to be a worship major.
You know, like, and he might.
Yeah.
And so really, it's the same thing. I mean, so you could give him that look like, oh, okay, sure, that's fine, son, whatever is, you know. But I wonder sometimes if they know we're disappointed that they didn't pursue whatever we think.
Son, I'm disappointed that you didn't grow your hair long and start a rock band and drop out of school. That's like the only thing he could feel like I'm disappointed in him not doing.
You're right. Well,
but I'm not.
But it's still a feeling. Oh, I know. And I know you're exaggerating it, but just like the movie Matilda, where Danny DeVito says to his daughter, "Get here, quit reading your books, and get in here and watch TV like the rest of us." You know. Nice. But you know, it's that look that. We as kids, we want our parents to look at us and go, you know, maybe not they jumping up and down and going, way to go, way to go. You're so amazing, Caillou. We don't need to do that. But what we hear is, I think, is that you're not smart enough to make the right decision, you know. And I think sometimes they have to figure out the hard way that, you know, like for your son, that it's not all about making millions of dollars.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I have a son right now who that's what his goal is, to just be super, super successful. And he's got what it takes. I mean, he's got, and I try to tone it down a little bit and say, well, you know, there's a price for being super successful. You know, it's harder to be you can't be as good a dad. And he says he gets that, and he's still young. So, you know, I know God's got to get him exactly where he wants him to be. But I want to make sure that he feels like a success. And if in no one else's eyes, at least my eyes, you know, that. Yeah. And I just think then our kids have some breathing room, because if we just act like this thing is ticking, like they have to make the right decision, you got to get it right. And then we have them take these, you know, not surveys. What are those kind of tests? Those
aptitude you like tests, yeah,
aptitude or whatever those things are. There's a name for some of those.
Clearly, we didn't go to school long enough.
I remember taking those tests and just filling out garbage. Like I just would fill out whatever. Do you like, would you rather make money or clean out bottles? And I'm like, clean out bottles, you know, that'll throw them off. But all that to say is when we have them take those tests, it makes it feel like they're broken and they've just got this. They got to figure it out real quick. And some of our kids just don't figure it out real quick. Even somebody was saying, oh, that they wanted to take a year between, or a little bit of time between college and high school, so they could kind of figure things out. And, you know, the parents are like, no, you can't do that. You're not going to do that. That's just a waste of time.
I think it's tough for us old folks, because there's probably quite a few people in our generation that ended up doing something that we aren't thrilled about, or have switched multiple times to figure out what they want to do, you know, and we desperately want our kids not to have that experience.
Right.
And so it's like, I think there's a loving spirit behind it.
Oh, I agree.
And it's easy to look back and be like, I can't believe I'm dealing with the ramifications of what that idiot 18-year-old thought of, you know,
right?
Like the decision.
And then maybe that's it, Scott. Made. Maybe everyone's an idiot 18-year-old and they're supposed to figure it out. Maybe that's part of it, you know? And I agree. I think that it is done out of love. It is done out of, and fear and lots of those other things. I mean, I remember talking to a guy in Maine, and he was a lobsterman, and he just said, you know, I don't want my kids to be lobstermen. And I said, well, do you like doing what you're doing? And he says, I love doing what I'm doing. And I'm like, well, why wouldn't you want your kids to do that? He goes, because it's a hard way to make a living. And I just said, well, does that mean it's a bad way to make a living? But I think sometimes, you know, I will hear people say, you know, my parents, they immigrated from whatever, Mother Russia, and they had to work, and they wanted me to get an education. I don't know why they would be speaking an accent.
That's a great accent.
But anyway, you know, and, but we act like, you know, that hardness was not good, and we want ease. And I'm not sure ease is better. In fact, I would almost say ease is not better. And now we're getting off the sidetrack. But I do think sometimes we come at it from, we want something better for our kids, when we already have the best.
Part of it is just that you don't want to end up breeding resentment between you and your children.
Right.
Because pushing them any direction is probably not going to work out all that great. I mean, helping guide them is a great thing, but that's one of the things that, like with my son, where I'm just like, that's cool. If he wants to do economics and finance, I hear your voice in my head saying, God will kill the stupid dreams. If that's a stupid dream, but it's not a stupid dream. I mean, it's, if he likes it, sweet, man, have fun, do it.
Yeah.
I'm thrilled. Yeah. We need more smart business people that are Christians, you know?
And really the comforting thing is that God directs your paths that way, you know? And I think you said it right, Scott. You're way better than an AI co-host. At least I think so. We'll find out. And, but I think you're right. I think it is in guiding, you know, not maybe trying to fix. And maybe it is just cheering. Maybe it's just the, you know, we're surrounded by a cloud of witnesses. Maybe all those, that cloud is just cheering, go, 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 go. Yeah. And maybe you say to your son-in-law or your son, whatever, go, go, go. You got it. Yeah, I know. Well, if anybody's got to figure it out, you are, you know, God's got you, and that this is where he wants you to be. And, you know, that's somehow comforting. In fact, I was just writing this week's Family Man Weekly, and I do a blast from the past where I just take one that I'd written 20 years ago when Maggie was born, because I talked about, you know, we're waiting for Ben and Riss's baby to be born, who will be named Miles Bennett Wilson. Sounds like a little rich kid.
Nice.
But I was just writing about Maggie's birth, and I forgot this. My wife said to me, she said, you know, we had a midwife, and she was like caressing my wife's shoulders and stomach and offering these really sweet words. And after Maggie was born, and then like the next morning, my wife said, you know, just hearing the midwife tell me I was doing a great job in the midst of labor felt so good, you know. And I was just thinking, you know, and it was like God said, did you hear that, Todd? You know, that's what your wife needs. She doesn't always need you to tell her how to cope with the tough situations that come, but she does need you to tell her she's doing a good job. And I was just thinking, you know, really, that's what our kids want too. They just want to hear they're doing okay and they're doing a good job handling it. I think, you know, so dads, as we wrap this up, you know, if you have a child, maybe who's an older child who is floundering, you know, and maybe it's because you're putting pressure on them to choose something, maybe you could just back off a little bit and say, you know what, you're doing a good job. You're going to figure this out. God's going to make it so clear. I know I've said that to my daughter, my oldest daughter, when she was thinking, I'm never going to find anybody to marry. I'm going to be a spinstress the rest of my life. I'm like, you're going to be okay. You know, God's got somebody for you. Don't worry. He's going to reveal him when he wants to reveal him. And that feels good. Or maybe your kid, like Scott, you know, your kid's financial whatever, and he's going a different direction. You're going to do great. You're going to be awesome. God's got you. Don't worry. And we do it because that's what dads do. And maybe it sounds even better than hearing it from some guy in the pulpit or, you know, reading it in a book. Maybe it just sounds better because it's coming from dad. And how we live means a lot when we see it through the eyes of our dad. So, hey, have a great week. I appreciate you guys texting me about the stocking caps and beanies from last week. Overwhelmingly, we're going to have beanies because apparently only the nerd dads, along with me, like the stocking cap style. How about before we go, though, let's pray for Henry and let's pray for his parents.
Pray for him to stop throwing up.
Okay, that we're going to pray that he'll stop throwing up. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, we just pray for Henry. We know that you created him the way you created him, and you had him birthed when you wanted him birthed. And the journey that he's been on is not an accident, and it is not unknown to you, and not as it's not bigger than you. I pray that, like children asking their father, we just ask, because we think it's best, that he would just stop throwing up, and that you would stop that, and you would give his parents comfort, give the doctors wisdom, help Scott to know how to be a good dad and in the midst of all that. And we thank you that you can be trusted and that you're going to get Henry where you need him to be. And we thank you for that. We thank you for this day and what you have for us, and help us to take advantage of it and help us to be the biggest cheerleaders of them all to our children. And we pray all this in your name. And all the dads said, amen.
Amen.
Well, hey, Dad, have a great week. Take advantage of some of that spring weather, even though I think it's supposed to get cold again. Maybe text your son or daughter if you've been putting pressure on it, and just tell them they're doing a good job. Do it because you're the dad.
And that's our show for this week, Dad. Thanks for joining us for the Family Man Show with Todd Wilson. If you have a question for the show, email Todd at familyman@familymanweb.com. If you have a question for me, you can reach me at scott@unsocializedmedia.com. Thanks for joining us. Have a great week.